And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I actually have my good friends Jason Pitts, Anastasia Elfman with me, and we're going to be talking about Dexter, episode 4, Call Me Red. So let's go on ahead and let's do this. And hey guys, welcome back to the show. I do appreciate you guys joining me for Dexter Resurrection, Call Me Red.
Hey, Mid-John. Awesome to be back.
It's awesome to have you back. Awesome to have you back as well, Anastasia.
Hello. Glad to be back.
Right. And you know what, though? I was geeking out through this whole entire episode, right? Because of the fact that we finally get to the serial killer party. And what I love about this is we're not sure what this party's like. We're actually like Dexter, though. We don't know what to expect from this party. We don't understand where they're going with this party or anything like that. We're just as scared as Dexter is a little bit. And also like how Harry's like, look, Dexter, you need to listen to me. We actually lure people in to capture serial killers or any type of criminals to do like this. He's like, well, it'll be okay, Dad. It's fine. I already have backup. He ends up putting a blade in his pocket just so he can have a way to kill somebody. But I also like how, you know, we talked about this, though, last week, remember, where we were like, I wonder what he's going to do with the thumb and if he's going to just carry the thumb with him. And the way he does it is just so smart with taking the thumbprint from the victim and doing it that way, which I thought was a lot more clever way than what I thought it was. I thought he was just going to carry around a black thumb the whole entire time with flies going around with maggots on it. But still, what did you guys think?
I thought it was fun. I do think that like three times trying the thumb is a little too much. Like I think I don't know. It feels like that would have been a big red flag for Uma Thurman's character, you know, just standing there watching him do that three times.
Right.
That's my only issue with it. Like, I think I would have only had it not work one time. I think twice was too much.
What about for you, Anastasia?
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole building up with the thumbprint, it's kind of like Mission Impossible, him creating and... that was so cool that it worked. I mean, I agree with the three times. I feel like that feels like me, like if my card doesn't work when I'm going through the grocery line or I'm like returning something at Whole Foods from Amazon and like I can't find it fast enough. I feel like I would just probably have like passed out on the ground just being so nervous, especially all that's at stake for Dexter in that moment. And I agree. I feel like if it didn't happen the second time, then Uma Thurman's character, I feel like she would have just pulled a Kill Bill and just like slash him in half.
Right. Because she was already on the fence. Right.
I'm glad that they did. I was worried about how he's going to juggle the finger.
Me too.
So I'm glad that they kind of problem solved that issue. Because I literally thought that there would be a scene where like the finger rolls away and he's got to like, stab it or something, you know, like I just thought it was gonna be something like that, which I would have enjoyed, but I didn't think that it would go that way, so that was kind of a fun, exciting twist.
Same here. I think that it actually is very fitting for a forensics person to be able to do that versus it doing the way that we thought about it, because we don't think like a forensics person. We think of us as a civilian, so it's actually a perfect way of how Dexter would handle it. And especially when Uma Thurman is actually searching him. So I don't think there would be a way to actually hide that thumb from her. So I totally understand it.
Like, it's like in his mouth or something.
Right. It's like, what's wrong? Nothing. I just got to go ahead and puke this up for a second. I'll be right back. But I do like the fact that Uma Thurman don't even trust Dexter right out of the gate either, because we're dealing with serial killers. And so when you see her... telling him not so fast, because she already knows Red's MO is to go in the back seat and kill somebody. But I wonder if she does that with every serial killer, though. It's like, no, you're going to ride up here for me. I'm not taking no chances. So I like how she's in the know about how these serial killers operate because of Peter Dinklage's character. And he probably gives her a whole bio of each character that they pick up. So it wouldn't be surprising to me that she's actually on the fence with these guys. But I definitely like the fact that Uma Thurman's just that woman who is for hire and basically takes these serial killers to this party.
Yeah, so. I feel like she's like a hired assassin. So I feel like she would know what she's doing out in the field. And I thought that was very smart to acknowledge that trait of Red, that she can't trust him in the backseat. And I agree that I feel like she probably has that suspicion with everybody because they're all crazy and killers and used to getting away with things because they're on the street still. But I thought that little detail was a big detail, and I'm glad that they kind of acknowledged it. And I have some kind of like sneaking suspicions about her where I don't fully trust that she's just the hired hand. Like, what if she's behind everything and she's just using like Kingsledge as like a decoy or something? You know what I mean? Like, that would be a good red herring for me if she ended up being like more important.
That's interesting.
Well, that's actually an interesting twist. I didn't think about it like that. Maybe she is a serial killer and she knows how a serial killer operates, and basically she's in the know.
Yeah, or she's collecting these people. I don't know. I'm very suspicious of her being kind of a side character because she commands the screen so well. You know,
she does. She does have a presence about her. Right.
Yeah. And she ducks away at certain times, like, okay, I'll watch over, you know, the monitors, and she's ready to go if there's an alarm, you know. So
there was that small detail where Peter tells Dexter that she doesn't like what I'm about to show you. And when they go into the vault with, like, so it's like there's that little detail where it's like she doesn't like what he does, but she's like just there for the money, kind of, as well.
She doesn't approve, right? That's kind of the vibe.
Yeah.
A little bit.
My question is this.
She doesn't approve of the serial killer stuff.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, though. But here's the thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Anastasia. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no worries. I said maybe she doesn't like the trophy aspect.
Yeah, she definitely doesn't like the trophy aspect, because remember the look that she gives Dexter when she goes, you have your trophy? He goes, yeah. And he ends up giving her the driver's license with the X on it, the red X. She's like, okay, I don't really like this, but I have to go with it because I'm getting paid. So she definitely doesn't like that. She actually feels uncomfortable with it. But yet she's also comfortable with Peter Dinklage paying her to pick up these serial killers. So she makes it just as bad as Peter Dinklage is for actually entertaining this idea of a serial killer party and picking them up. So I'm wondering if Dex is going to go on ahead and put her on the table later on after he gets done killing all these other serial killers. Because like he said, this is a serial killer buffet. He can go on ahead and wipe out all these serial killers and he can be the last one standing. And then take out Dinklage himself.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Uma Thurman's character was like after a certain serial killer and is with Peter Dinklage, just like hopefully this killer will eventually come to his thing, and it's like she's out for revenge and that's like her whole motivation.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I just hope that they have something in the back pocket.
There's definitely something more than her just being a henchman. Absolutely.
Right. What if she's a cop? What if she's actually an undercover cop investigating Peter Dinklage, and she's been on to him for years, and she wasn't, and now this is actually coming to a head for her?
Maybe. What do you think?
Interesting. Yeah.
I feel like Peter Dinklage, I feel like his character is very thorough. And so she would have to be in like deep, deep cover. Yeah. Or maybe he thinks that she's crooked or there's something, you know, because I'm also, I mean, not to get too far ahead, like the whole, when Dexter is there, he's touching buttons with the wrong finger. He's giving the hat. Like there's all kinds of things where I'm like, they are going to know, like they're going to figure out. And also it's like, if Dinklage's character is so into serial killers, like, why does he not notice that that's obviously Dexter, you know? Like,
well, there's not a face for the Bay Harbor Butcher per se. Yeah, Doakes was actually the Bay Harbor Butcher. But at the same time, though, Dexter gave himself away with him touching the slides. So well,
I think as far as the world knows, the Bay Harbor Butcher is dead and it's Doakes.
Right.
I guess, yeah. So I don't think unless they do a really deep dive and like study all of the cops and the people that worked on the cases, I don't think they would know who Dexter is.
Which I feel like they have some time on their hands and unlimited resources. So I feel like that could happen.
It's a possibility.
In theory, yeah. You know, but yeah, Dexter was definitely, he was fondling, you know, that was, right. I got
chills when I saw the sides or the,
you know, too. I was so slides. Happy.
I was like, holy crap.
I was happy to see finally the slides. And also too, Dexter was also just as happy as we are as an audience seeing them for the first time in years. And now he feels like he has a sense of home now that he's seen the slides. But at the same time, though, this is another thing. I was geeking out over the serial killer stuff from Dexter stuff that he collected. It's like as us as fans who are fans of Dexter, we would actually collect certain props. Not saying the serial killer props, but certain props for our own personal stuff. Mm-hmm. From Dexter, just as Leon, who's played by Peter Dinklage, collects stuff from Dexter. And, you know, the thing that I was geeking out was like, wow, you actually paid an FBI agent to take the Bay Harbor Butcher table or bed.
Ice cream truck killer?
Yeah. And you had that, and you paid off an FBI agent for this. Then you have Gracie's... clown outfit. You also have other serial killer memorabilia, and I'm like, this refrigerator. How much? Yeah,
it's interesting how they like weave like actual cases within the fabrication of the, you know, the series. So that's, you know, it kind of like makes it grounded. But yeah, I feel like if nothing else, there's going to be a standoff, and Dexter is going to want to get his slides back. So, like, that's
absolutely
like signing the death deed. You know, like he's going to have to die.
Right.
Because like nothing, I feel like nothing. He had such a reaction. I mean, and I did too. You know, just seeing like what a relief to get like to have those, and then to protect those for, you know. Right. So I feel like there's definitely going to be some like high noon standoff going on at some point.
Right. I definitely agree.
I got a question for you guys. This relationship with Dexter and Mia, Kristen Ritter, how do you guys see this going? Like, does he see, because of her MO where she kills sexual assault people? It's kind of similar to his code where he kills other serial killers. So do you think that he might kind of see her in a positive light and not kill her, not want to kill her?
I could see it. I could see them teaming up, you know, as like a vigilante serial killer system, but it's all about the trust and building that trust up with her, just as she's trying to build that trust up with him. But I just don't want it to be in a situation with Miss Pardon My Tits from one of the season from one of the Dexter episodes, because if you remember, he fell in love with that girl and that girl turned into a total entire psychopath.
Yeah.
Remember the British woman that he falls in love with?
Is that the pyromaniac? Miss Pardon, The pyromaniacs, like season two?
Yeah, I call it Pardon My Tits because that's what she says. So that's the nickname I gave her because I can't remember her actual character name. So I just call it Pardon My Tits. But I just don't want him to go through that same thing that he went through with her. But yeah. I do see maybe them teaming up and actually taking down maybe these serial killers at the table, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like right now, I feel like Dexter is just trying to get a handle on like what is going on in this situation. You've been here longer. I'm like, he's not telling her what's actually happening, but he's on, you know, he's pretending to be another serial killer. So he has even more at stake. Mm-hmm. Because now he's like doubled down and lied in front of everybody. I don't feel like there's like much chemistry right now. But from Mia's side, I feel like she's trying to figure out what his deal is, because she doesn't like people, you know, she's for revenge. So I feel like she's like kind of testing the water to see what's going on. And so she's like flirting with him to get closer. And that's kind of her MO. It feels like, I mean, we'll learn more about her as this, the, you know, episodes go on. But I feel like I don't know. It kind of feels a little bit like what was his like kind of girlfriend was at Lumen, where they were out for revenge for her abusers. Right. And so it kind of feels like on that line, not really the British lady, because she was crazy and she was going to literally like destroy Dexter.
That's true.
But I don't think Mia's like, as far from one episode, I don't think she's evil. I think she's trying to, right the wrongdoings. Yeah. Just like Dexter, in a way. He's like, he's harnessing his, like, quote unquote, evil for good.
Right.
He's like a bad type of guy, you know?
Right. And you know what, though? Now that you mention it, it is kind of like Lemon in a sense of, you know, with that character, too. So I totally get it now. Now that I'm mentioning, yeah, I agree with you on that. Then the dinner scene where Dexter's expecting me, he's wanting, and then he has to learn that he's a vegetarian. And I just thought that was incredibly funny, where he's actually mixing the cauliflower in with some of the other stuff to give it some extra flavor because he does not like that stuff. So he has to try to figure it out. But he also needs to go ahead and eat it because otherwise it's going to cause attention to himself. But then it's show and tell with serial killers. And then there's also the other thing with the spiky baseball bat, where it's like, hey, look, if you guys step out of line, break the rules, you're going to die here. And Leon winds up telling him, so you guys need to follow the rules. Then we have the tattoo artist who's doing show and tell and saying, this is going to be my next victim. It's not completed yet. The tattoo is not completed yet, played by Neil Patrick Harris. But,
awesome.
You know, and I just thought it was definitely different to see Neil Patrick Harris play this kind of character. And I just love how dialed in he is as this character, because you actually believe it. I'm actually having goosebumps whenever I'm watching him. I'm like, you're creepy as hell. You need to die. I hope Dexter puts a knife through you. But you're doing such a damn good job at acting your ass off right now.
Yeah, but, he was great.
Yeah.
I'm super sad that probably only going to get one episode with him. Like in the diner when he was like watching her, like he looked so engrossed and like he was salivating. He did such a good job. Yeah, I'm sad. I wanted to see more.
Yeah, I enjoyed his performance. I'm also like, okay, so I love the other serial killer, Eric Stone Street, because I'm a huge Modern Family fan. Like, that's like one of our go-to shows. So I've rewatched all of the Modern Family episodes, like probably 20 times. You know, it's just a go-to. So I love seeing him in like a darker, because he plays his role so upbeat and fun. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of, I mean, even this serial killer is kind of like a fun, jovial guy, you know? So I'm curious to see like more, like maybe go on a hunt with him and see what his deal is. Because obviously there's something unhinged happening. And he puts on a very good facade of, you know, like being a family guy and soft-spoken and well-mannered, you know. And then that whole scene with the dinner, like having those big, like they look like tomahawk steaks, you know, tomahawk. And they almost looked raw, which I was like, ugh. But I'm also a vegetarian, so I was actually excited about Dexter's meal. I was like, oh, that's, I would eat that.
You see, I'm actually on Dexter's meal, so I was actually on par with Dexter's meal that we had from all the other seasons. So I'm like, because I like steaks and stuff like that, but you know, I like that whole entire attention to detail and how they put it intimated into this episode. Because they mentioned it just for a little bit, and then they put it into it. So I like that little attention to detail with it.
I thought like one of his biggest tells was that when he left the dinner, he immediately went and got two chili dogs.
He's
being followed. He's going to be outed immediately, you know? Right. So there's like so many things. Like, I'm like, oh, you're touching things. They've got your DNA on like the forks and the wine glasses, and they have all of this stuff. And I'm like, you're being too cavalier with this. Like, let's rein it in a little bit. Cause like,
right.
I don't want him to ever be caught.
I'm the same way as you. I mean, I would have actually had my walls up, not really touching that much stuff. But,
and you would think with his history with law enforcement and knowing how people get caught constantly, he would have been. But also, I understand that there is a freedom where he feels like in a certain way, he's at home with like-minded individuals and who have these urges that he feels like an outsider and a monster all the time, even though he's like focused his evil stuff into positive, like getting rid of other people who are actually doing evil wrongdoings towards innocents, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, okay, let's ring it, reel it back. Like, let's calm down. Let's be a little bit more guarded. Like, I don't want to see you in jail on like the fifth episode.
Right. But I want to jump piggyback on something that you said, Anastasia, though, too, with the serial killer who has a family life. Don't forget, we also seen that with the Trinity killer as well, where he was trying to have a family life and also be a serial killer, just as Dexter was trying to have a normal life and have it all, too. And you also get to see the little details with the Trinity killer with the hammer. I thought that was pretty cool for the thing. But yeah, and maybe Dexter's household has that question of, like, how do I juggle being a serial killer and also being a father to my son? Because I didn't get that much answers from the Trinity killer. So maybe this killer might actually give me some advice because he's been married for a good 40 plus years and he's been doing this for a long time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I mean, when we look into like the Trinity killer's family life, it's so toxic. You know, like the wife is obviously abused into, you know, giving him positive reinforcement. It's not a healthy living situation. And he's like mean to his kids, you know? Right. So it's just, that's not a good example for Dexter. No. But yeah. I mean, his whole thing with his son, I don't know how that's going to be fixed. I hope he figures it out though.
Me too. I hope so too.
Al is really interesting though. Like the first thing he does is start showing them pictures of his kid.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
There's obviously like a level of love and for his family there. You know, he's proud of them.
Right.
So that's a definitely interesting dynamic.
It's like he may be a killer by night, by day he's a family man. So he's not forgetting who he is.
If I remember right, Gacy was like that too. Like Gacy had a family and they had no idea what he was doing. So like,
exactly.
I kind of feel like Al's a lot like Gacy.
Well, it's kind of like it's the cover, right? You want to appear normal and that nothing's wrong so that you can get away with that stuff for as long as possible. Right. So, I mean, and with the theory that does the family actually exist? Is it like a Bates situation where, you know, like nobody's actually there? They're, you know, is it
right? Because we're taking this as face value too, as well.
Well, yeah, because there's Photoshop. You know, he could have put his hat on anybody.
Exactly. So it could be a split personality, bipolar disorder kind of thing too that could happen because Dexter doesn't know this guy, but yet you're going to try and trust this guy and try to get to know this guy when you don't know anything about him or his history.
He's got an AI family.
Yeah, it feels like that's what it is. It feels like all of these serial killers are kind of like they're on the chopping block with Dexter and they're like his next victims, you know, and he's trying to get close enough with them to kind of figure out, A, what's going on with these dinners, how intense is like Dinklage character, you know, because like it feels like he's just like figuring out his odds, you know, right. And that he gets close to them and then maybe
figures out their weakness.
Yeah.
Right. But I do like what did you think about Dexter just being the only one that shows up first? Because I hate being the first in a party. I feel awkward as hell whenever I'm in the party by myself.
I think Peter Dinklage's character had Uma Thurman bring him first so that he can have some alone time with him. I think that was by design.
That's true. Because he doesn't know him either. He just knows him by that one name.
And I don't think Uma Thurman's character, like, I feel like the first time these serial killers get an invite, she brings them, and then after that they come on their own.
Right. But what did you guys think about whenever Dexter winds up finally killing the tattoo artist? And he's like, by the way, I'm the Bay Harbor Butcher. Fuck. And then he winds up saying, I thought this whole entire setup was really good. You know, I really liked the dark humor within that part. I really felt like it worked. And then him getting the blood sample like we've seen in all the other Dexter stuff that we've gotten. And he's like, oh, you do that? That's kind of lame. And then as he's doing this, Dexter's still in control of the situation. So I like how Dexter's like kind of just smirking and like, okay, I'm going to tell him who I am. And then there's that shock of like, oh shit. But what do you guys think?
Oh, go ahead, Jason.
I thought it was a cool line of him being able to say, you know, I'm Dexter Morgan, the Bay Harbor Butcher. Now the reaction on the other end, from Neil Patrick Harris, I mean, he knew he was going to die anyway. So I don't know why he freaked out so much, because he already resigned.
He was going to die.
Like, I don't think who Dexter is should have mattered that much. Like, he just completely freaked out and was like, "Oh shit!" Like,
well, I think it's the whole fact of the fact that Bay Harbor Butcher's supposed to be dead.
Yeah, right. So that part kind of, I was just like, oh, okay. But, like, I loved Dexter, you know, being able to say that line and having that look in his eye of, like, I am me, you know, finally, after all this time, taking control of his identity. I loved that. But Neil Patrick Harris's reaction to that I thought was a little over the top. But, yeah, I mean, I overall I liked it. It was cool.
What about for you, Anastasia?
Yeah, I mean, I love, like, when we get – like hints and flashbacks to like OG Dexter and him and his element. So like, I am ravenous for those moments. So you know, like that's kind of my favorite. The other stuff is just kind of fluffy. Right. I want to see him in his element and, you know, getting these like bad guys. So yeah. So whenever we get that, I'm such a happy girl.
I am too. I'm very happy with the whole entire setup of it. And whenever I see him in his element like that, it makes me geek out, makes me go back to the original Dexter over and over again. But now let's talk about the fact that we're dealing with Harrison again. Because I wanted to actually talk about this too, because Batista shows back up, but I like how Harrison winds up saying, let me guess, you're not here to talk about happy family times over at Miami. Just to paraphrase it, and he winds up telling him, well, you sold the car to your friend, which also led him back over to Harrison. And then you have Harrison, who is still dealing with the fact that he killed somebody, and he's about to turn himself in, and then you see Dexter pop up. He goes, oh, I was like, oh, now you want Father of the Year. Now you want to show up. Well, where were you 3 episodes ago where you just, you know, letting him do his thing as soon as he turns himself into the cops, because you know that he's going to rat you out without meaning to rat you out. But he's going to rat you out, but Harrison still thinks he's dead. But what do you guys think about that?
I'm okay with, like, I wish it would have happened sooner. I understand wanting to stretch it out and increase the drama and the tension of it. I think the most interesting thing about that whole side of the story is that Angel doesn't tell Harrison that Dexter's alive and just lets Harrison go on believing that he killed his dad. And so I think that part is really interesting. And I want to see, obviously I want to see this confrontation between Harrison and Dexter, but now I want to see Harrison and Batista, their next meeting, and see how that goes, with Harrison knowing that Dexter's alive and trying to hide that he knows that Dexter's alive. I think that's all going to be really interesting.
I think so too.
Yeah, I feel like it is dragging out quite a bit. This like subplot and all, you know, like, I feel like this could all be solved with just like a sit down with Dexter and Harrison, and like, cause like Dexter, other than running away and maybe feeling like he's being harassed, he hasn't done anything wrong on paper. You know what I mean?
But now it's a suspicion.
It's just a feeling, which, yeah, I mean, he's like, you know, what they say, a creepy motherfucker, you know? Right. So, I get the vibe. He's a little spooky, but I feel like he's, what's the agent's name? Batista? He's like really like harassing the family.
He kind of is.
You're right. He's this retired cop who hasn't left. He's like that retired cop that is retired, but it has not left the police force.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I feel like if we got the three of them together, they could be like, okay, so I'm, you know, sorry that you suspect me, but I'm just living my life. I'm trying to reconnect with my son. Like, everything is explainable right now.
Stop harassing.
Nobody's backed into like a corner, right?
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
because it feels like Batista traded spots with Dokes at this moment.
Definitely. And then that was like, you know, it's like, okay, enough is enough. We get it.
Right.
But yeah, they're dragging out the subplot and trying to keep the, you know, that character in, which I like the actor, but it feels like we're grasping at straws. And it's kind of like, it's a little boring for me, just because like there isn't really anything for him to do except like kind of look a little grumpy.
Right. It's like a WWE match where they just decide, hey, we're going to put the Undertaker in for the sake of having the Undertaker in there. You know what I'm saying? Just for face value and stuff, just to pop him there. It's like a surprise cameo and then move him along.
Yeah. And it's like, we have so much subplot going on. We really don't need this added, because just with Harrison alone, with that investigator, that detective woman, that's enough drama to like keep that story afloat. And then him feeling remorse about his first kill, and then the watch haunting him. You know, he's like having anxiety and about that. Which again, it's like, I wonder why he doesn't just give that to the detective woman. Because that doesn't really implement him in anything other than she already knew that the guest favored him and would do errands for him.
Right.
So, well, I don't know why it's such a big deal. You know?
I think from his standpoint, with his first murder, his anxiety's up a lot. And he's a 20-year-old kid that just killed somebody. So he he's not really thinking straight either. So I think it's a lot to do with his anxiety and also the age, and everything rolled into one big, huge mess for him.
Yeah, I feel like he was definitely going in to like confess. I don't think he was going to like out his dad at all,
because
that isn't even on their radar.
It would be different if Batista was already there.
And Dexter wasn't even on Harrison's radar either, because he thought he was dead. So yeah, I don't think he was going to out his dad.
That's true. Yeah. I didn't think about
but
that.
I'm glad that we finally, because I'm like, okay, when is this, like, let's wrap it up. Let's get to the, you know, good part. So I'm glad that we have that. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, does Harrison end up moving in with Dexter? You know, because, like, he's homeless right now still, right?
Right. He's still homeless.
Yeah, which is an added stress. So I get that he's, you know, kind of defenseless right now, and he's not sure which way to go, but I feel like he has enough to stand on to not get convicted, because everything's just hypothetical right now.
Right. And I want to mention this. You mentioned the fact that the three of them need to sit down. I want this to be like a Heat moment where they sit in a restaurant with Batista and they have that sit down and they talk about things. Because I think that would be the perfect way to actually get rid of Batista in a nice way to where Dexter doesn't have to kill him or put him on the table, because he's already trying to put these other killers on the table. So he doesn't need more collateral with it as well.
What so I think Batista that would be really edited. He's really powerless. Like, if he finds Dexter and like confronts him, where do they go from that? Like, he doesn't have anything.
No.
Other than his suspicion.
Yeah. You know how like Dexter likes to confront people, like, leave me alone, that kind of stuff. Like, I would like to see Dexter do that. Like, leave me and my family alone. You have like, there's, you know,
there's nothing for
I'm
you here.
Sorry that you've lost people, you know, but like, I had nothing to do with it. Cause right now he has nothing on him. It's just a feeling.
Right.
And right now he's actually making himself insane. And it's like, if the Miami like police found out about him harassing, like, I feel like he would be in so much trouble.
Yeah.
Because he's got a reckoning coming.
And he's technically retired, and he's technically retired and running around flashing his badge, which I would think would be illegal, right?
It is like, illegal.
He's not a detective.
Who's paying for this? Are the detectives?
No one. There's no PI. There's no family member. No, there's no family member paying Batista to hunt down Dexter.
Yeah, it's out of his own pocket. I'm pretty sure.
That's so crazy. And he's using all of these resources. It just like, we know that he's right. Okay.
Yeah.
But yes. Normal people, you know, everybody else, he's just harassing.
Yeah.
Like, right. A guy, like, he literally lost his whole family, tragically, you know, his like wife, all like Dexter went through it on paper and even more off paper, you mm-hmm. know, that we saw the struggles that he's dealt with and still persevered. And so it just on paper, it looks like this guy lost everything and he's just trying to put his life back together and reconnect with his son. That's what it looks like.
Right.
And so, like, let's just, I could live without the subplot, but you know, it's influencing the old character, you know.
I do like the motif of the watch ticking, even though when it's impossible for him to hear it, it reminds me of the Telltale Heart with the Edgar Allan Poe story. So I dig that. That's pretty cool.
As if it's like ticking down to something that we as an audience don't know about yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's haunting him.
Haunting him.
So he's making these like crazy choices just to get away from that and the guilt.
Uh-huh.
Right. So is there anything else that you guys want to talk about as far as this episode goes?
I hope Dexter is less reckless moving forward. Because I was like, this is wrong, you know, honing in, like, be careful. I mean, I kind of hope that we get a moment because, like, I don't think this bunch of people would care. They didn't know Red. He was a new guy. I don't think they would care at all if Dexter, you know, outed himself. Like, this is my MO. This is what I do. You know, accept me or not. I feel like it would be fine. I feel like they would actually enjoy it more.
I think so, too.
A bigger badass than, you know.
Leon would definitely geek out the fact that he has the Bay Harbor Butcher in his helm.
I think he would freak out. I think he would feel like he won the lottery.
Right.
Yeah. So I hope that there's that reveal where he could just, like, put it out on the line. Because it feels like he's at that tipping point where he doesn't want to hide from everyone. Like, he wants a sense of community and a type of family, and he wants to reconnect with his son and help him, and he just wants to move on, and he wants to do what he's good at, and that's, like, you know, going after, like, evildoers. And right. So I feel like there's a version of the story where he could just own up to being himself, Dexter Morgan, and still deal with this dinner, and it might be heightened. Because,
do you think it's a good idea? Think it's a good idea for him to reveal himself as the Bay Harbor Butcher when the Bay Harbor Butcher killed serial killers?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
I think it would be like he's the like biggest baddest guy. You know what I mean? It's like when villains find out Batman is Batman. You know, it's like go ahead and try me. See what happened to the other guys.
It might also make him a threat.
Your thing is killing people like me. Like that's what would go through my mind.
Right.
If I was at the table.
Also, too, it's I kind of agree with Anastasia though too, where it's like I'm the big bad of them all.
Yeah.
And don't mess with me.
Right. I get that, but I think it'd be really risky on his part to reveal himself after thinking about it. At first, I was like, "Oh yeah, that'd be awesome," but then I was like, "Wait a minute, the Bay Harbor Butcher kills serial killers, and that seems to be something that everybody knew or knows."
Yeah, but I feel like Dexter loves a risk, like that's his thing, and he likes getting away with things as well. So I think to like keep up because like he wants a chase, he wants to be challenged. And that's why he goes after, that's part of why he goes after to like relieve that hunger of killing. And so I feel like he would be up for it. And it would actually be him like kind of taking control of his destiny and taking control of his powers and owning up to it and being like, I am the most powerful of the lot of you, of ever, anybody, you know, in this situation. So I'd like to see that.
I agree. And, you know, I definitely do agree with you guys. Like, the subplot and stuff like that definitely slows everything down. I don't really like the subplot. I want them to hurry up and get the subplot over with and get into more Dexter stuff. Because I feel like it just speeds things up without the subplot. Like you mentioned, Anastasia. I mean, you have a lot more with
Batia. I feel like the subplot is going to eventually merge with the main plot. I can see a situation where Dexter's in real trouble. And Harrison saves him by killing one of these killers.
Yeah, what if over his head. And Harrison, like, you know, connect and go after all of them together, you know? Because, like, Harrison's having a hard time coping, and so he needs that, like, father figure. Obviously, you know, just like how Dexter needed a father figure to help figure out, like, his urges and everything and his code. And so just like that reassurance, I feel like would be great for Harrison. And then, I mean, I feel like we're just like being set up to like eventually get to know these serial killers and then one by one. But then that's going to be very suspicious for Dexter. Like you're the only one who's like surviving. Everybody else around you is dying. How long can you keep this up for?
Right. It's like Survivor Serial Killer Edition. Who's going to survive the dinner?
Yeah.
But it is going to be very suspect if he's like the only one. So maybe Lady Vengeance has to go on ahead and do some killing of her own to where Dexter doesn't feel suspect at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it has my attention. It has my attention. I was a little, cause it felt like Avengers Unite kind of thing. And I was like, oh, we're making this like too superhero ish for me, but I'm actually liking this subplot a little bit more than I did last episode, just because of like the variations that it can go. And so that gets my mind spiraling in a good way. Right. You know, it's entertaining. It's keeping my interest.
Same here as well.
I was worried that it was going to fizzle, and I thought it was going to water down like Dexter with too many people, but it's working out pretty well so far.
Yeah,
it definitely is. All right. Well, that's going to be it as far as this goes. I hope that you guys enjoyed our episode 4 review of Call Me Red, but you can call me John. But we're going to be going on ahead. We're going to be doing this every single Sunday. But we're going to do, this is going to be a straight up just audio podcast / video. And whenever that gets released, we'll go on. I'll let you guys know whenever it gets released. And always until next time, guys. Have a great, safe day. And always until next time. Bye-bye.
In a town blanketed in snow, a man hides his truth beneath layers of flannel and plastic wrap. The Dexter Resurrection.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.